You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Early BP. I'm Mike Farron, D-back starting the final homestand of the year on a special day at Chase Field as Paul Goldschmidt makes his return with the St. Louis Cardinals. He talked a little bit about some of his favorite moments while he was in a D-backs uniform.
I mean, my two best memories were the years we made the playoffs here. They were a little different my rookie year and me being the new guy, not really knowing what to expect. But from that, just seeing the joy on, you know, the guys who had been here, their faces. And then in 2017, kind of just the up and down seasons we had, you know, a couple losing seasons, and be able to get back to having a chance to win the World Series. And probably that wild card game sticks out. That's probably the best game that I've ever been a part of.
Goldschmidt's Cardinals clinched a postseason berth for the first time since 2015, thanks to his game-winning double against the Chicago Cubs yesterday. D-backs enter to play today with an elimination number of one. That's a one win by Milwaukee or Washington, or a loss by the D-backs will eliminate them from postseason contention. We'll talk more about what the future holds with General Manager Mike Hazen in just a little bit. But first, over the weekend, we told a little bit more about the story of Eduardo Escobar, the D-backs nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award this year, has had an incredible impact on the Phoenix community already.
We have had several people come to our campus, and I've not seen the impact that he has made.
That's Lynette Faulkner. She's the principal at Valencia Newcomer School, and she's speaking about Eduardo Escobar.
Valencia Newcomer School is a school that supports students who are transitioning into the United States. Right now, we represent 30 different countries, and those students, this is their first experience in the United States in the educational school system.
The Valencia School is one of the many places that Eduardo Escobar has had an impact in a short period of time. It's a major reason why he's the D-backs 2019 nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award. D-backs Vice President of Corporate and Community Impact, Debbie Castaldo.
We didn't know what we were getting when he came here, and have discovered that he genuinely is one of those players that we will always, always be so grateful we had. He is as kind and genuine and generous as I've ever come across in the game.
In just over a year, Escobar has had a profound personal impact on many students and families across the valley. He is resolute in his desire to give back. ASU freshman Daniel Murillo learned that when he was a senior at North High School.
He was really interested in meeting me and the guys and just coming to the school and just sharing his story about what he went through and sort of advice into what we can do to become better students. And athletes.
Escobar's story is one of extreme poverty in the dangerous El de la Pica neighborhood of Maracay, Venezuela.
I started working at 3 and 7 years old because my mother I know how food for eating. Sometimes I go and sleep, you know, eating nothing. But I need starting a job when I'm having 7 years old. So when I White Sox came opportunity to sign a professional baseball. So my life is changed, but I never forgot where I'm coming from.
Escobar went from a player nearly released out of the complex leagues by the White Sox to one of the top third basemen in the National League. But his biggest impact is coming off the field. Valencia Newcomer School Principal Lynette Faulkner.
For me, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And he truly can empathize with our students and the struggle and the stories that they have brought with them here to the United States.
While at Valencia School, Escobar connected one-on-one with a particular young boy.
He just started talking about their families because he is from Venezuela, and the other boy was too, and they started talking about the turmoil that was going on over there, and Eduardo was just explaining to him that, you know, our families are going to be okay, just keep in communication with them, and just really had that personal touch in explaining that.
Carlos Ramirez saw that personal touch at Phoenix Children's Hospital when Escobar spent time with his daughter, Alexa.
What took me, you know, by surprise was that he sat with her and asked her why she was there, how she was doing. It was more of just a one-on-one interaction with her. And, of course, my daughter talked his ear off, and he took the time to listen to everything she had to say.
That's something that stood out to Daniel Murillo as well. The former North High School baseball captain had applied to the Diamondbacks for help with equipment for the 2019 season. It was Escobar who delivered.
You're right. Honestly, very grateful that he took even more time to spend with us and really get to know us. And, you know, he just gave us a lot more than we asked for, and we really appreciated that.
At each of these events, Escobar seems to go above and beyond. Here's Falk.
He started to speak Spanish to the kids. Of course, they went crazy. Here's this famous guy, and here he's coming and speaking in their language. But it was really interesting to watch him come to the other cultures to talk with the other children in his English and trying to communicate with the kids from Africa and the kids from Syria and Afghanistan. And he wanted them to know, I've been where you are, even though I'm not from the same country. I've gone through that same journey with you. And to have that desire to want to go and talk to all the children and to let them know that they can make it, I haven't seen anything like that.
Escobar's ability to relate with people has made a huge impact. Here's Daniel Murillo.
We didn't really have a lot growing up. You know, we just put stuff together and, you know, played outside, or, you know, we weren't granted a lot of things. So it kind of gave me a relation. You know, I could feel where he was coming from, and I could tell that he really just wanted to help, you know, everybody that he can. And, you know, he was going to do whatever it took to help with, you know, everybody that he could. He's such a humble guy, and so it gave us like a push and, you know, basically somebody to look up to.
That personal connection and desire to give has connected with all ages, from 3-year-old Alexa Ramirez.
You know, meeting him was the best time of my life. I got his signature on my cap.
To her mother, Priscilla.
Eduardo took the time to come and actually sit down and have a conversation with her. And not many adults do that with little kids. Mm-hmm. But he sat there, he talked to her, he listened to her, which is really awesome. And to have that experience was amazing.
To Faulkner's students.
They come over with a lot of hopes and a lot of dreams, a lot of stories behind them. When they transition here and they see someone like Eduardo, they see hope, because they know if he can make it, they can make it.
And that generosity of spirit is unique, says Debbie Castaldo.
When you see him places and people realize that he really is who they think he is, that he is that good and that genuine, he never wants to leave. He'll stay till the very last autograph is signed. And there's only one other guy I know, and that's Gonzo, that does that very same thing.
It's no wonder Escobar is the D-Backs nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award. And you can support him for that. Go to MLB.com/Clemente21 and cast your vote for Eduardo Escobar for the 2019 Roberto Clemente Humanitarian. And Eduardo continues to be a great inspiration in the Phoenix community. Great work by him. And well, again, you can go to MLB.com/Clemente21 to cast your vote for Eduardo Escobar for the Roberto Clemente Humanitarian Award. All right, the season is coming to a close, and the D-backs certainly have appeared to open a window into contention for 2020. We'll talk about that and a lot more of the plan coming up with Mike Hazen. Final Monday of the regular season, a final chance to check in on the BP show with a member of the front office. It's good to bring a general manager, Mike Hazen, back. And, Mike, I know the team's still alive with an elimination number of 1 coming into today, but as you start to look forward, what are some of the biggest lessons you feel like you've learned from 2019 with this team that you want to take into next year?
Wow, that's something I'd like to spend a lot more time on before I give you a very specific answer. But I think looking at this season, I realized what the expectations were publicly. I think those differed quite distinctly from how we felt privately, and, you know, not finishing in the playoffs. I think where we felt like when this team was playing at its very, when it's playing to its best, we felt very much that we could compete at least with the wild card teams through the second half of the season. That didn't happen. And I think those are types of things that we're going to have to ask ourselves questions when we put it together, because we're not going to have a lot of free agents going into the offseason. And so we'll have choices to make on how to put this team back together, I think. And we're gonna dive in the second the season's over.
Do you feel like that, based on internal expectations the last 2 years, you guys have felt short, or do you feel like you met expectations of being competitive this year?
I think finishing out of the playoffs is falling short of expectations. We don't really look at it in terms of whatever people are saying we should be or who we are. I think we try to do that internally, our own markers for what success is. And success is making the playoffs. And when we don't make the playoffs, it's hard for me to sit here and say that it's not a successful season. And then there's certain degrees to that, too, of sneaking in to the last wild card spot. And, you know, success is winning the World Series, ultimately. And I realize we're going to fall well short of that. But even being competitive within the wild card race, you know, there was probably more we could have accomplished given how we played at the beginning of the month. And we just fell short. We're going to have to examine those questions and ask ourselves why.
I realize I asked this question on October 23rd, you'd probably have a better answer than September 23rd. But as you go into the winter, what are your first thoughts of where you feel like the team needs to improve?
Well, we need to examine the injury situations first. We need to make sure that guys are going to come back healthy, come back ready to contribute. So we're seeing Luke Weaver pitch now. We're seeing Taijuan Walker pitch right now. You know, David Peralta, Souza, that group of guys, we need to get our arms around what that's going to mean to the team going into next season. I think after that, we're going to have to critically assess where we feel like things are going to be able to be made better. You know, is our pitching staff deep enough? Is the bullpen deep enough? Have we done a good enough job of building a 25-man roster, position players that give Torrey the ability not only to play his best players, but also to give those guys off days, that the roster is deep enough? I think that's something we've seen over the last couple of years with the team ahead of us in the division, that they bludgeon you with depth, I think, and we need to match that.
I knew you talked at the deadline about pitching being acquisition, but almost every conversation you've had over the course of the season has focused on the consistency of offense, and I think it goes back to last year. Is that something you feel like still needs to take another step forward in terms of personnel this next year?
Very much so. I think the upside of our offense was exhibited pretty regularly. We had some career years out of some key guys, young players that have taken steps forward offensively. That's a good sign for me. I think the scoring as many runs as we have, and then also having records of 7 to 8 games in a row of scoring 3 runs or less, we need to find a way of evening that out over the course of a season, because the games of holding opponents to 3 runs or less and not scoring 3 runs or more, we need to that to me is one of the areas that we have fallen short this year, night in and night out basis. I believe in what we're doing offensively and what we're building towards, and we do have some young position players, so you're going to see some fluctuations. If we're going to be the team that we need to be, we need to start evening that out.
And I know you've got young talent coming. Last time we talked, you talked about the Dodgers consistently moving the goalposts. What do you think would be the biggest key this winter for helping you guys shorten the field?
Well, I think offensive consistency is one of them. I think lengthening out our 25-man roster to give Torrey more weapons throughout the roster, especially on the position player side of things. We're going to have to put the bullpen back together again, as we do probably every year. and then continuing to add talent to the roster. There is a clear talent discrepancy in my mind right now, 1 through 25, that needs to be, you know, we have a lot of really talented players. I just think 1 through 25 is where it's not just about one player or 5 players or 7 or 9. It's all 25. I think that's what they're best at. I think it's an attainable goal. I think we can do a better job as a front office. I can do a better job of giving Torrey more weapons to use on a nightly basis. And that's our part of my focus going into the offseason.
Is it an exciting offseason for you guys?
I hope so. I hope every offseason is exciting. I hope every offseason comes with an expectation into the next season that we're building towards something, that there's not this cliff that everybody's been talking about for the last couple of years about, well, when are they going to choose to rebuild and when are they going to tear it down and go all the way to the bottom. So far, we've resisted that for 3 years. I'm hoping we resist that in perpetuity. That's going to require us to continue to make smart, long-term strategic decisions. I hope next year comes with heightened expectations based on the young players we have on this roster, and hopefully by us supplementing that young talent in the offseason. And we'll see what next year brings.
Mike, we appreciate the time all season long. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Mike.
Mike Hazen helping us to preview this winter for the D-backs. Now let's visit with the manager, Torrey Lovello. Torrey, I know that had to be a disappointing finish yesterday. What were some of the moments that you replayed after that one?
Yeah, for sure. There's several that walk through your mind. I made a decision to take Robbie Ray out of the game at 95 pitches after striking out a batter. And, you know, the next situation or two led to some extra runs. And those are the curious questions and that run through your mind just because it's human nature. So I usually start there. There were some situations where we left some runners on base with less than two outs, with runners in scoring position less than two outs, where we could have extended a lead and delivered a knockout blow, and it didn't happen. I mean, that's the nature of baseball. You second-guess some thoughts and some things that you've done, and I'm sure the hitters are doing the same thing. So when you leave that out there on the table and you don't close the game out the way you want to, it gets to be pretty frustrating.
You know, I know a lot's been made of the mechanical changes that Robbie's made over his last couple of starts. What have you seen from him? Because the walk totals have still been a little bit higher.
Well, I know that he and Mike have worked about slowing the tempo down, getting him on that back foot, getting on his heel, which is helping him stay over the rubber and get online. And at times yesterday, I thought he was unhittable. He had a very clean first two innings of the game. I thought that things were moving in a very positive direction. It's just the stuff didn't maintain its consistency. So I think that when you make some quality adjustments like we saw early and it works, you want to stick with it. I think now it's just getting more familiar with that the newness of what he's doing.
What do you think is, if you were to give Robbie an exit interview on the season and say, okay, here's what we want you to work on for 2020, and I realize he's got another start left, but what are those things that you would hope that he would focus on? Because obviously next year is a big year for him heading into free agency.
Well, that's a good question. I haven't quite got there yet, but, you know, in critiquing Robbie, I think he's had some unbelievable moments for us. He's emerged as the our number one guy. He's taken over for Zach Greinke, and really that this is his team. So, you know, to continue the work ethic, to continue to believe that he's going to improve and get better each and every day, but then to maintain consistency. I think there are some times where he gets on these unbelievable runs. He gets on these 5-7 game runs where he's just overpowering. I think true number ones and guys that are looked at the way we are going to examine him and look at him as the ace of our staff next year, I want him to believe that he can go out there and his 30 plus starts and have 25 really, really good ones.
Obviously, still not eliminated. The elimination number is one, and whether it's a loss by the Diamondbacks or a win by Washington or Milwaukee, that would do it. If that were to happen over the next couple of days, would that change at all the way you play out this series against a Cardinal team that's still in the mix?
Well, we got to be careful about that, and out of respect to the teams that they're in the race with, we have to run out our best team, and I really believe in that. I think there's some new normals in the game. We're on if it's a Sunday day game and we have the extra roster because it's September, or Wednesday day game because we have some extra players due to the September call-ups, we can mix and match a little bit. But I want these guys to go out there and make it as hard as they can on the St. Louis Cardinals. We don't want to see anybody celebrate on our field. That's hard to watch. So we're going to go out and play our best game. And out of respect to the teams that they are running against, we're going to give our best effort.
Paul Goldschmidt makes his return to Arizona as well today. I know you already went through this a little bit with playing the Cardinals right out of the All-Star break. But what are some of the things that you think of now? Because I'm sure it's come up in your mind over the last 24 hours with Paul's return.
Well, I mean, certainly he left such an imprint on this organization, and I'm sure specifically everybody can relate to what I'm getting ready to say, that he meant so much to me, and I'm not the only one. So to see him in a different color uniform was a little bit awkward, I'm not going to lie, in St. Louis, to see the away fans cheer for him the way that we were here for so many years was a little awkward, but it gave me a little bit of closure. It gave me the ability to say that he's in a new organization and it's time for me to turn the page. So, you know, he'll always mean something that's just a little more special to me than playing on the other team, because he's such a good human being. So once the game starts today, it's going to be game on for me. It's how we attack him and get him out, and I want to make sure that these guys are aligned with me.
The other part of that is attacking Adam Wainwright. What's the key against the veteran righty?
Well, he's going to switch speeds. He's going to go into all four quadrants with three different types of pitches. It's going to be a fastball, curveball, and a cutter. And we're very well equipped for what that game plan will be. I think the key is if we're looking cutter to hit cutter, not swing something we're not ready for.
Let's get rid of it.
Thanks so much.
Torey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, where the D-backs take out the St. Louis Cardinals tonight. BP show at 6. Greg and Tom have the call at 6:40. It'll be Alex Young against Adam Wainwright. And we thank you for joining us for early BP.